And today, and just want to thank you for doing that. Thank you for watching. Thank you for participating in this online series. And so it's hard to believe that we're already in the month of May. This shutdown was started back in the middle of March during spring break, as you might remember. And so now we're heading into Mother's Day next Sunday. And just to give you a heads up, guys, you know, make sure your wife, your mom, make this a special Mother's Day to remember, not just because it's 2020, just because they deserve it and you want to honor them. So make them feel real special this year. And so a big shout out to our mom, my mom especially. I just want to thank my mom and our spiritual moms here at church, and even my mother-in-law as well. So a big thank you to all that you do for us. Thank you, moms, ahead of time. So May also has some special days in it as well. There's Memorial Day, and that's towards the end of the month, to where we remember and pause to give thanks to those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. But normally in May, there's also graduations that take place, whether high school and college. So there's graduations that have been postponed or delayed and are on pause. And so just want to say, you know, to all our high school graduates that are watching, hey, congratulations, and this will be one you'll never forget. So just take that into play. And so as we move towards reopening our state, our city, so be patient as we work through things here at church. You know, our goal is to make sure everybody is here safely and doing what's best for everybody. So it may be a little bit longer as before we gather here physically together. So just be patient with us because we want to do what's best for everyone. And so in speaking of reopening, that's the title of today's message. And so as our city and nation and state are thinking of reopening and giving us some directions on reopening, I want to talk about a couple of verses that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 11 to 12. Hope you jump there or get on there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And so we're going to be ending our ambassador series today. And starting a new series next week. It's going to be a 7-week series called Making Life Work. And so from Mother's Day to Father's Day, we're going to do a kind of a family, kind of a reprioritization, or giving us some life principles to help us navigate life better in these days. And so it's not going to make life easier, but it's going to make things ease, or take the ease out of the sting of life, because life's been kind of crazy and difficult, and we've made a lot of adjustments. And so how do we make life work for us from God's perspective? And so he's laid out some principles for us to navigate and give us direction. And so don't miss this next 7-part series called Making Life Work. And so also our youth, I just want to encourage our youth to continue to grow spiritually through YouVersion and through the video chats that we've been doing. And so just take advantage of that. I know a lot of our kids and youth have been on e-learning from school. And when you really think about it, all of us have been kind of doing some e-learning. I know some people have told me they just started figuring out email or figuring out Facebook or doing banking online or getting their groceries online. And so they're doing things that they've never thought that they were thinking of doing. But this adjustment time frame, this quarantine, has caused us to learn more e-learning for all of us. And so it's going to help us navigate this digital world that we're living in. And so some of you may not have learned that, but you're still watching and you're like, well, I still do it old school wise. I still get me in the Bible, my time. And so, hey, enjoy whatever time you get with the Lord, whether it's YouVersion or just you in the Bible. Take advantage of that in these times. So learn to grow spiritually. I do both. And so I learn from my phone and learn from this. And so I just take every avenue I can to make sure I'm getting spiritually fed. And I know you are as well. So today we'll be in 2 Corinthians 6, 11 to 12. I just want to read the two verses and just kind of walk us through what I'm going to be sharing today. So in verse 11, Paul says, We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. Open wide your hearts. And so today I want to talk about reopening. And so remember, Paul was going through some tough trials, some hardship and stresses and troubles. And so he was giving the church a second letter. He was giving them an update on his life and ministry and why he wasn't able to get to them when he wanted to. And so he wrote them this letter to give them an update. And so the first letter, 1 Corinthians, he wrote a very stern letter in which Titus had to deliver that message to them. And so as the church read that and heard that, and they had to respond to this stern letter. So Paul was confronting their lack of love for one another. They were not taking communion together. And so even in speaking of communion, we're going to partake today, as today is the first Sunday of each month, which we normally partake as a church. And so I'm going to be leading you through that at the end of the message today. And so go ahead and get that ready. Get a piece of bread or a cracker or a little cup of juice. Take your phone with you to the kitchen and grab those things, and we can partake together at the end of the message. So go ahead and get that ready. And so remember, this church was receiving this letter, and sometimes when we hear correction or a strong rebuke that Paul was dealing with some things in this church, sometimes those words were, you know, hurting people. And so Paul's intentions was, he's writing this out of love to help them correct some things, to make them have some readjustments or rethink some things or rebelieve some things. And so many times when we receive, when we are on the end of receiving correction or rebuke, sometimes we don't take that well. And so we feel offended and hurt. And so our normal response is to just kind of shrivel up and draw up, and we close our hearts. And so Paul was asking and admonishing this church, hey, open wide your hearts to us. Don't close your life off from God or from us, because we love you. We've shared our affections to you. We've spoken freely to you. And so sometimes we can close our hearts to God and to other people when we're wounded and hurt. And remember, Satan's strategy is to get you one step away from your relationship with God. That's his goal, because if he can just get you one step away, then you may take another and another and another. And so think about that. So in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Paul goes back to Genesis, and he reuses the story where the devil was confronting Adam and Eve, and how Eve was deceived by his lies, and they were both hurt by believing what he said, and they took many steps away from the Lord. And so we must learn to guard our hearts and our minds at all times to protect our love relationship with God. So Paul mentions in these two verses something very special. He says, we have spoken freely to you, and we've opened wide our hearts to you. So in a love relationship with God and people, communication is key. And sharing what's on our heart and speaking freely is very, very important. So Paul is saying that he's done that with an open heart, sharing to them what was needed, like a father to his children. Now he simply wants them to respond in the same way, and he pleads with them to open wide their hearts. Don't withhold their affection from Paul. So sometimes when we get wounded or hurt, the first thing we do is close off our affection towards people. And we become guarded, and we just become hard inside. So Paul is like, don't do that. And so here's what we tend to do. We tend to be afraid to reopen our hearts. So as we reopen things around us, even in phases from this quarantine, I want you to consider to reopen your heart in life to three things today. First of all, reopen it to God. Maybe you have felt hurt by God through all of this, that somehow you're angry with Him because of all the things that have transpired, that it's His fault, that you're blaming Him. And so God wants you to just speak freely to Him. Cast that burden, cast that care upon Him because He cares for you. You've got to speak freely. You've got to reopen the lines of communication between us and God, even when it hurts, even when life is hard and we don't understand. So reopen your heart to Him. Make sure that you don't close off any part of your heart to Him. He wants you to live life and have your heart wide open to Him. Open it wide. Don't close off a certain section of your life from Him. No, be fully in love with Him. That's what He wants. Then reopen it to others. And so I know this takes time with people. If you even move in inches towards reopening your heart to Him and to other people, you're still making progress. And so give yourself some grace, but also allow others some grace. Because sometimes we just don't know how to navigate this life well. So we have to show some grace. We have to give some grace and receive grace at the same time. And so, but keep reopening your heart towards people. Maybe during this time frame you've lost someone, or gone through a divorce last year or previous years, or maybe you're mad at your boss or company through all of this. You don't understand what's taking place. And so don't be afraid to get hurt again, because guess what? Life is hard and you probably will. But we can't close up or quarantine our life from living life. And so just be aware of that. And so communion is a time to where we examine our hearts and relationships to make things right with God and with other people. And so just think about that. Even now, just say, Lord, just help me, show me if there's anything I need to change with You or with other people. Because I want to navigate things well. I want my heart to be wide open and full of love for You and for other people. I don't want to be closed off or quarantining my heart from You or from others. Secondly, reopen your mind. And so your heart first and then your mind. And so in this series of being an ambassador, we've been understanding who we are in Christ as ambassadors. And so sometimes learning what that means takes time. There's a learning curve and understanding who we really are. And so as ambassadors, we represent King Jesus. We represent His kingdom values and desires here on earth. We're understanding who He is and how He lived and what His ministry was all about, so we can do the same. Because we're left here to represent heaven and point people to heaven. And so we've also learned that we've received this message. We received God's word and we're ministers of a new covenant. And so we've been entrusted with an amazing responsibility to make sure we understand the truth. of who we are in Christ and how we're supposed to live and how we can help other people and give them hope and make sure they understand forgiveness and what that is all about and heaven and who Christ is. So that's our goal. That's who we are, and we can never take that for granted. We're also called jars of clay. We're called servants of the living God. We're called temples of the Holy Spirit, and so we're called to be holy. We're called to be partners along with God's work, His kingdom work on this earth, and so we have to understand, hey, we have a job to do. Outside of my physical job, I have a spiritual ministry or a work to do that I work along with God on. And that is reaching people and discipling people for Christ. So open your mind to that truth. Accept who you are in Christ and believe it. And here's my challenge for you. Then start living it. Start living it. And so sometimes the hardest thing to penetrate is not wood or iron, but it's the steel trap. It's our mind. Wives, don't say amen on that to us guys, all right? But the devil is in the business of blinding our mind so we can't see who we are. And so he distorts our vision and perspective of who we are so we can go off track. Because he understands that if we understand who we are and why we're here to spread the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus and to be salt and light in this world, if we don't understand who we are, then we'll never accomplish what he's called us to do. So he starts with who we are. Let's just blur who we are, because then we'll never figure out why we're here. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you've never figured out who you are or why you're here. But that's our goal, is to help you understand who and the why. Because our country is going through something more worse than a coronavirus, something more worse than a financial crisis, something more worse than an unemployment crisis. And that is an identity crisis. People simply don't know who they are. They are lost when it comes to understanding who they really are. There is a gender crisis. There is an identity crisis. And Paul wants to make it crystal clear to us, for us to understand who we really are. It's the foundation for how you will live life. And so if you take away the foundation of your life, then you're left with just crumbles all around. So please understand who you are. Don't have a closed mindset. And so reopen your minds and seek to know who you are. Thirdly, reopen your life. Reopen your life. We've all felt contained or limited or confined in certain ways during the past few weeks. And so maybe that's affected us mentally. Maybe it's affected us emotionally, spiritually, even physically. I think I've gained some corona weight or quarantine weight here. I got a little pudge going on, and I'm trying to exercise and get rid of that. And so it's affected us. And so as we're seeking to reopen things, reopen your life. People are waiting to get back to what they say normal. Routine of life. And so, you know, God sometimes gives us pause moments in life to teach us. So let me just give you some examples what I mean by that. And so there were pauses in history before we had these pauses in history. And so what can we learn from that? So God is always teaching us through moments. And so, for example, at the Red Sea, the Israelites had fled Egypt. They were delivered out of Egypt. They had to go to the Red Sea, and immediately there was a wall of water that they could not get passed through. Their backs were literally against the wall, and the Egyptian army was coming against them. And so they were complaining to Moses, what are we going to do? And you know what God says? He says, stand still and watch what I'm going to do. What? He says, yeah, just take a pause moment, stand still, and watch what I'm going to do. Now, here's the amazing thing. As the entire nation has kind of hit this pause moment, it's been recorded that there's been over 100,000 people have come to know Jesus through this time frame. That is amazing. 100,000 people in a month's time frame have come to know Jesus. Because God is teaching people something. They're tuning into what life is really all about. And this has kind of shook their life to where, hey, I need to get things right with God. I need to stand still and listen and watch what God can do. And He can part the Red Sea. He can deliver me from this world and get me across whatever obstacle I'm facing to get me to the other side. So He was teaching the Israelites that. Then He took them to Mount Sinai. He led them to Mount Sinai to where, hey, they had another big pause moment. So God gave them the Ten Commandments. He gave them instructions on how to worship, how to build a tabernacle, how to do the priesthood, and all of these things. And so God was teaching them in this pause moment before they headed out. And so again, what is God teaching you through all of this? And so another pause moment was the 40 years of wandering. They went to the promised land, got right to the edge of the promised land, and they investigated the promised land. They spied it out, and they came back with a negative report. There's too many giants there. There's no way we are like grasshoppers before them. There's no way God can deliver them into our hands. And so that negative report spread, and the entire nation of Israel was on lockdown for 40 years. That is a long pause moment where God was teaching them the negative consequences of unbelief and disobedience to Him and His plan. And so they had to learn the hard way. But could you imagine 40 years? This wandering in the desert, that's what they had to do. You know, there was another 40 days after Jesus rose again before He ascended on high. And so Jesus used those 40 days, those pause moments in between His resurrection and ascension to teach the disciples, to make all the dots connect for them from the Old Testament to His ministry, to help them understand what He was going to be about and what they were going to be called to do. And so there was pause moments that teach us many, many things. And so He told them right before He ascended up, He says, hey guys, I want you to wait. Wait till the Holy Spirit comes. And then when He comes, you'll be able to spread the gospel like nothing else. And so in the midst of this pause moments, I've been praying, Lord, pour out Your Spirit so we can preach the gospel to the world. And just through this avenue of online ministry, it can go out to many places that it's never been before, all because of technology. And we're thankful for that, because the gospel is going out, not just to our city, but to other cities and states and countries and so on and so forth. But what is God teaching you? What have you learned through this? Don't waste your pause moments. And so maybe God's been speaking to you about priorities. Maybe some reprioritization in your life. And so maybe to put Him first place in your life. Because here's what's if you go back before this, I mean, life was crazy. People were super busy, and all of a sudden it just went, this huge pause moment. We had to make this huge adjustment, cancellation after cancellation, cancellation, cancellation. And so people were like, what are we going to do? Quarantine to our homes and essential places to go. Everything has changed very fast. And so maybe God is simply saying, hey, maybe we need to rework some things, readjust some things, rethink some things to do it a little bit better. Because before this, maybe things weren't going so well for us. And so maybe God's simply saying, hey, who's on first? What has first place in your priority? Remember the old Abbott and Costello thing in 1953? They did this little clip to where, this little baseball clip, and they just asked the question, who's on first? And they did a wonderful job of navigating the game of baseball just by asking who's on first. But it's a key question for us all, because it's not what is on first, but who. Who's on first? If God isn't on first place or first base in our life, then we have our priorities out of whack. The game of baseball, so to speak, the game of life is going to be way out of whack. It's going to be chaos. And so let me just ask you, if work is first place or first base in your life, then you got your priorities out of whack. Finances, if finances are first place in your life, is money first place? It's out of whack. If yourself is on first base, your life is out of whack. If sports is first base, your life is out of whack. Who's on first base? So the battle for your heart and mind and time is answering the question, who's on first? Please understand that. Who's on first base? Think about that. Readjust your life around God's principles. And that's what our series is going to be coming in weeks ahead. How do I learn to navigate God's way to do life better? Because we got to make some adjustments. We can't go back to normal. We just can't. We got to go back to something better, because we've learned some things through all of this. God, I don't think, has allowed this to happen for us just to not learn anything. I think things are going to be changing out there even after all of this. I have my own speculations. I'm sure you do too. But I don't think things are going to be going back to normal the way it used to be. Things are going to have to change, because they are changing. But guess what never changes? And that should be our priorities. You know, families are spending more time together now. They're eating more together. They're not running around like crazy. They're just enjoying each other. I hope they're enjoying each other and not killing each other, right? And so, or getting on each other's nerves. We should be growing in the midst of this. That's my challenge. I think God is waking us up. He's stirring us up to what He wants to do through our lives, through our church, through all of these things. So please be paying attention to what He's saying to you. You know, when a coach, I used to coach basketball and played baseball myself and did different sports. And whenever a coach saw the team or things get a little hairy or crazy, they always called a timeout. And in the midst of the timeout, he was encouraging players. He was making some adjustments. He was retweaking some things to give a new game plan for the next play or the next quarter, the next half. Why? So they can win the game. And so sometimes we have to call a timeout, just like we're in, and it's like, hey, how can we give a new game plan to what we're doing? Because we want to win at life. We want to win in relationships. And so learn from these pause moments. You know, there was another pause moment in between Jesus' death and the resurrection. There was one day. And so in that one day, Christ died, He was buried, and they put His body in a tomb. They rolled the stone over the tomb, sealed it, locked it down, so to speak. Jesus was inside, all wrapped up. And then Easter morning came. And so here's the amazing thing. Men, those soldiers, rolled the stone away. After they put Jesus in there, they wanted to make sure Jesus didn't get out. They wanted Him wrapped up, closed up in the tomb, sealed up, locked up, and be done with. They wanted to thwart God's plan, but guess what? God had a different thing in mind. And that is because Easter Sunday morning, God sent an angel from heaven that came down on the earth early Sunday morning, and he rolled that stone away. And Jesus came out of the grave, and he walked among us for 40 days afterwards. And here's the amazing thing I want you to think about. God is all about reopenings. What man has tried to close, God always reopens sometimes with something new. And so what a great lesson to learn in the resurrection. And so there is a miracle in your heart, think about this, just waiting to happen, but you have to roll the stone away. That stone is whatever is blocking you. So the new you or the real you can come out and live. So as we seek to reopen things, as we seek to take communion today, take time to reopen your heart, take time to reopen your mind, and take time to reopen your life. And maybe you're going to have a new start or a new understanding. Be open to a new chapter, a new day, maybe even a new relationship or a new job or a new opportunity. Who knows what God has in store, right? We just have to be patient and reopen all of us to be open to what he's going to be doing in our lives. So whatever it might be, choose to live today and every day wide open. Wide open. Don't let stones block you and keep you from living who you really are. Decide today to get up and walk out of that tomb and live in that resurrection power and that freedom. That's a choice that you have to make. God doesn't want us quarantined, closed up, wrapped up in our anxiety, our depression, our hurt, our pain, and where we just stay in the tomb. No, that's not his plan. His part is to help us get rid of all of that so we can live in freedom and walk with him in his power and walk with him in his spirit and his word and walk in obedience. You may be thinking, well, I need help with that. You know, we have a coaching and mentoring ministry here at church, and so all you have to do is just go to our website, www.crossroad-community.com, and right on the front page there it says real people, real God, real people, and then real change. Just click on real change, send us an email of who you are, what you need help with, and we'll reach out to you to make sure you get the help you need in putting Christ first in your life, to live that abundant life that he's promised to give us in John 10:10. So that's our goal, is to just help you make those readjustments, to help coach you to live life to the fullest and make sure that you don't miss out on Jesus in heaven. For those of you who have found life in Jesus already, if you have your cup and your bread or your cracker already ready, we're getting ready to partake together. And so I have before me the two elements that Jesus gave us to remember him by. We have the bread and then the cup. And so the bread, he says, represents his body that was broken for us. So he was broken so that we might be whole. Might be whole. The cup represents his shed blood for us to forgive us and to ratify the new covenant that Jesus established with us and God, to where our sins are forever dealt with by the cross and through the power of the resurrection. And so, as we partake today, I just want you to take a moment to just thank God for sending his Son. To thank him for Jesus' suffering. Thank him for his brokenness. Thank him for his love for you. Thank him for his forgiveness for you through his shed blood. Just take a moment just to thank him and kind of examine your hearts and just confess anything that might be wrong with you and God or you and other people and seek to make that right. And so on Passover night, 2,000 years ago, Jesus took some bread and he took the cup. And he said, "This bread represents my body broken for you. just take and eat it. Will you receive it? Will you take it in? Then he took the cup and he gave thanks. So this is my blood shed for your forgiveness. Take and drink. Hope you're able to do that with your family, maybe around the table or maybe sometime later this week. But make that a special evening. Make that a special time today to where it's just you and the Lord or you and your family. And you get to celebrate and remember his love for you and his freedom for you and his forgiveness for you. And so as we close today, I just want to close in prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you for showing us how much you love us and how much it cost to set us free and have life in you. Help us to stay free and live wide open for you and for those around us. Help us to be strong in these days. So Lord, help strengthen our hands, our hearts, and our minds, and our lives for you. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. You know, I can't wait to get back to seeing you all and having communion together. And so maybe next month, Lord willing, we'll see. But as we close today, I just want to thank you for joining us, following us all the way through and taking communion together. But have a great week. Love you all and can't wait to get back together with you all. I'm going to wave everybody goodbye today. Hopefully that one day we'll wave each other in person. Love you all. Have a great week.